This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Both chambers of the Michigan legislature have approved legislation that would mean no longer automatically treating 17-year-olds arrested for a crime as adults. Michigan is one of only four states in the nation to still do that. Here to talk about what that will mean if Governor Gretchen Whitmer signs it into law is Jason Smith. He's the Director of Youth Justice Policy for the Michigan Council on Crime and Delinquency. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Since by any other definition, 17 is not an adult, why has Michigan's justice system treated them as adults?
Our age of juvenile jurisdiction has been set at 17 since the establishment of the juvenile court. Every state, when they established their juvenile court, set their upper age of juvenile jurisdiction differently. Some states set the age at 16. And Michigan, back in 1912, when the juvenile court was established, set it at 17, when times are very different for a 17-year-old back then. Many of them were working, getting married, having children, and brain science and just the overall shift in society has shown that 17-year-olds are still kids and should be treated that way.
So let's talk about what has happened in the past. How are 17-year-olds treated when they're convicted and put into prison with adults?
So they're treated in the exact same way that the justice system treats a 30-year-old, 35-year-old. They're prosecuted, convicted, sentenced as adults, placed in the same facilities that adults are placed in over the age of 18, and they're given the same sanctions and treatment options that adults do. The problem is that a 17-year-old is still a child, as shown by every other aspect of society. Every other system or institution that serves young people treats 17-year-olds as kids. Schools, the child welfare system, we're talking about juniors and seniors in high school here. The treatment options available to them in the adult system does not reflect their status as youth. 17-year-olds are still very much dependent on their parents and family members for their health and well-being. They, again, touch several institutions that treat them as young people. The juvenile justice system has a better, stronger, collaborative relationship with a lot of institutions that engage the entire family of that 17-year-old, not just the youth, whereas the adult system really treats any individual that's under their jurisdiction, be it in the some sort of confinement situation, adult prison or jail, or even on probation in the community, as a unique individual where they're solely responsible for getting to appointments, checking in with probation officers, paying fines and fees as if they're working and living on their own independently.
So this idea of raising the age to 18 has been around for a while. One of the concerns, though, is that instead of the state paying the cost of incarcerating a 17-year-old, since they will be treated as juveniles, that means different courts and the cost shifts to the counties. The bills that passed would have the state reimburse counties until 2025. What happens after that?
So the primary funding mechanism for juvenile justice services in the state is done under what's called the Child Care Fund, which is managed by the Department of Health and Human Services. So in general, young people under the age of 16, and I should say, too, that a 17-year-old can't currently be served in the juvenile justice system if they come into the system before they turn 17. So you're 16, adjudicated, placed on probation, and you have a birthday. The juvenile court continues to serve them, so it's not an entirely new population. The Child Care Fund allows for counties to be reimbursed for most expenditures that DHHS determines to be eligible for reimbursement. The counties pay for costs, and this is for community-based treatment and for out-of-home care for kids who require some need for out-of-home treatment. The counties pay for those services up front first, 100%, and then the state will reimburse them back at 50%.
So how much did that cost to counties weigh in Michigan waiting so long to seriously consider changing the law?
I think that one of the reasons that the delay has happened here is really there was so much focus on trying to figure out that exact number. How much would it actually cost? How many 17-year-olds would the juvenile court actually get and what that would translate to? And I think that all of the stakeholders involved, including the advocates, the counties, the lawmakers themselves at the state level, realize that some of this information you just won't get until you actually make that change and you implement the policy change and incorporate 17-year-olds into the juvenile system. Doing some sort of point-in-time estimate for what the cost would be is just not realistic. The caseloads in the juvenile justice system has continued to decline year after year. Michigan's an aging population. There are fewer youth getting arrested, and caseloads have declined. So even an estimate given at one point based on the number of 17-year-olds in the adult system won't necessarily translate to what it would be several years down the road. And currently, the legislation that's proposed has a two-year implementation date. So October 1st, 2021, we may have much less 17-year-olds than we even had in 2017 or 2018 when these estimates were developed. And I should say other states that have done estimates on their raise the age have shown that once it was actually implemented, the fiscal analysis or the estimates given for how much it would cost the states have actually been lower than what actually happens.
As I understand it, prosecutors will still have the option of charging a 17-year-old as an adult. Is that something that could be abused?
Maybe. I hope not. It may be a situation where prosecutors waive more and then it evens out over time. It's hopefully will happen at a case-by-case basis, that where they're looking at the entirety of the case and the individual of the young person who's committed that offense. But that's an option politically to get raise the age passed has to exist, and it exists in almost every state that has passed raise the age legislation in the last decade. There is some sort of mechanism that allows young people who commit serious offenses to be treated as adults, prosecuted and convicted as adults.
Bottom line this for us, why do you think this is good for Michigan residents?
This is aligning our state with the best practices in how states treat young people who come into contact with the justice system. It aligns with all the other laws that govern our society and how you view someone under the age of 18. As you've stated, 17-year-olds cannot vote. They can't sign contracts. They can't enter leases. This aligns with how we treat young people in our state under every other circumstance. And it allows 17-year-olds to participate in treatment that's really designed to make sure that they are rehabilitated and not reoffend as in the future as adults. It has long-term benefits in reducing future crimes, future victimization costs. It gives young people under the age of 18, 17-year-olds specifically, the option to participate in treatment that's designed to their age and developmental status as young people.
Jason Smith is the Director of Youth Justice Policy for the Michigan Council on Crime and Delinquency. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you again for having me.